with GPB Savannah. I'm Cindy Hill. In studio with me today is Editor-in-Chief of Connect Savannah, Jim Marikas. Welcome, Jim.
Hey, Cindy, how are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for being with us today. Well, I guess all city council meetings are interesting in their own ways.
They talk
to me a little bit about yesterday's meeting and what stuck out for you.
Well, a couple of larger, you know, big ticket items were continued for a couple of weeks. So we didn't get the fireworks on a couple of things, but the fireworks that were anticipated came on one particular subject. The use of double pane aluminum clad windows in the landmark, the historic landmark district downtown. And this is what prompted this. It's not a one-time request. This was a text amendment, okay, to our historic preservation ordinance, which we take very seriously here. And it wasn't just a one-time kind of spot zoning thing. It was a text amendment to allow a multi-story developments to use these types of windows in the landmark district rather than, you know, proper wooden, you know, historic, authentic windows. This sounds like a small thing, but it sort of touched on a lot of hot button issues, okay?
Right.
Because, you know, not only are we very sensitive about historic preservation downtown in general, because that's part of our identity, but there was the sense that this was sort of another giveaway to a large hotel developer. So that hit another hot button. And also, of course, the macro picture is all of this happened in the wake of a controversy over the National Park Service commissioning a new study to sort of assess the status of our landmark district. You know, they have a gradated scale.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was kind of a perfect storm of Savannah, very Savannah stories, you know. And it was quite interesting, and it was another one of these episodes where you had multiple citizens coming up, speaking very passionately about things, and you almost got a sense, as we do sometimes, that the vote was already kind of baked. The cake was already baked. Now, however,
a lot of the aldermen have been very vocal about it, at least on social media, about what their stance is.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will say, you know, we all anticipated a vote in favor of this controversial thing, but it didn't happen. Mayor DeLoach, after Daniel Carey, the director of the Historic Savannah Foundation, in my opinion, you know, pretty forcefully represented the case for the developer not getting enough citizen input. His evidence was, well, look at all the people speaking out here who weren't consulted. And he said he wasn't consulted. And, you know, and it went on from there. And Mayor DeLoach basically, who I think came into the meeting in favor of the aluminum windows, right? I think he said, look, we're going to take another 2 weeks and you guys are going to get together and meet with the developer and try to hash it out. Now, of course, who knows what's going to happen from here? I mean, I'm not going to, you know, make any bets on that.
But. What was the sense in the room with the people who were there to protest the vote? Do you think this alleviated some of their concerns? What do you think this is, and what are you hearing from your readers?
Well, I think there was a sense that there was almost like a foreboding sense of inevitability that once again a hotel developer would get their way, you know, and the rules would be tweaked. And so I think this was sort of a reprieve, you know, sort of like a Hail Mary pass that worked out at the end of the game or maybe got you into overtime. And that's kind of my analogy is like we're in overtime now. You still might lose, but you get to extend the game a little bit. So, you know, in the sense that I got listening to the citizens in the city council meeting yesterday is, you know, a lot of people, you know, like elected officials were kind of mocking them like, well, why are you so worried about windows? That's a dumb thing to be concerned about. And they were like, you know, it's not about windows. It's about, you know, you give an inch here and then the next developer will take a mile the next time. And, you know, the thing is, we have seen that. I mean, over and over again, we've seen so many rules get changed and tweaked to favor developers. There's and this is just my opinion here. You know, there's a bit of a double standard, a huge double standard in some cases. Like at the same meeting yesterday, a small businessman who owns some convenience stores in working class neighborhoods was dressed down. He was petitioning for a change in alcohol license, but that's not the point. The point is he was dressed down by city council because he had too much advertising on his windows, and you couldn't see in, and that evidently is in violation of a city ordinance. It's a safety issue, and he got really, you know, kind of chewed out. He's like, you're not going to get your liquor license until you clean up your stores, and here's my point. My point is they said, you should have known what the regulations were because you're doing business in Savannah. You should know what our regulations are. and we should not have to come to you to tell you. Now, of course, my question is, you see where I'm going with this, is they often don't extend this same harsh standard standard to developers with a lot of money. And a lot of people at the meeting were saying that. They were like, you guys, meaning the hotel developers, you bought this historic building. You knew it was historic. You know you're in Savannah. You know we have regulations. You clearly are going to make a profit here because, I mean, there's a lot of profit to be made. So it's not like you're doing us all a favor. But it wasn't enough for you. You wanted to come in and change the rules. But the small businessman doesn't get to change the rules. And this is, again, this is just my, you know, editorial comment here. And I see this time and time again, a local small business owner, they'll just get chewed out for fairly small violations, but the big pocket interests, they will come in not only and not get chewed out, but they will petition to have rules changed. And in this case, of course, and this sounds like, again, like very, you know, technical and minutiae, but the thing yesterday was about a text amendment. So there was a precedent being set. It wasn't just some one-off variance request. And that sounds like a very minor bureaucratic detail, but it's really not. It has ramifications moving forward, you know. I don't think it's any secret that we have more of a quote-unquote pro-development mayor and city council now than the previous one, whether that's, you know, good or bad or indifferent is, of course, up to the eye of the beholder. I don't expect that to change. I do think there's a certain level of surprise because I think some people thought this council would be a little more savvy about protecting the brand. And look, maybe they are. I just, but in some of these short-term situations, you have to ask, you know, and these are the same questions we ask of any administration, not just this one. You know,
if there are rules, why are there exceptions to the rules? If there are exceptions, then do the rules need to change? That kind of thing. Yeah.
And you know, another context that's going on is, and you know, to give credit where it's due, they have restructured their historic preservation ordinance and to address some of these issues. Now that was not voted on yesterday, so they are making tweaks to a lot of these situations to you know, establish criteria and not sort of make the playing field so wide open. You know, has the horse already left that barn? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, I would have said that 10 years ago, but I would have been wrong. So maybe if I say the horse has already left the barn, it's too late to stop this stuff. Maybe not. I mean, you look around, there's still plenty of undeveloped parcels. I mean, fewer and fewer, but they're out there. We are nowhere near out of the woods in terms of these controversies over development downtown, especially as the economy continues to more or less get better and better across the board.
What's on your radar? What are you guys working on for your next issue?
The next issue, we're super excited about. There's a lot going on, but there are two sort of main events going on. One of them is A-Town Get Down, which is a yearly event. It still is a charitable event in the memory of a young person, a young SCAD student who was killed. It's turned into sort of a major and very interesting entertainment event because it's held, you know, under the bridge over there, and it's in a very unusual but wonderful, evocative place. They have a awesome headliner this
Chuck
year.
Lavelle,
Chuck
sometimes
Lavelle.
Savannah resident and all-time Rolling Stones pianist.
One of those great under-the-radar sort of stories similar to the Greg Allman situation of how we have like mega, like iconic celebrities who just kind of hang around under the radar in Savannah, which is a great thing about Savannah is they can do that.
Absolutely.
Know?
He's got a tree farm up the road too.
Mm-hmm,
he's a major Georgia guy now.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he's, as you mentioned, he's involved with conservation and just mm-hmm. very, and he's a very important person. That's a great get for them. I mean, that's fantastic for that little festival, and it's really good. And also, of course, the same weekend is the Savannah Earth Day. But that will be the Saturday, I think, the 21st. Am I getting my calendar right? Yeah. In Forsyth Park. And what's really wonderful about it this is the first year that a new nonprofit, the Savannah Chatham Sustainability Coalition, they were formed essentially to run the Savannah Earth Day Festival. Of course, they have other plans in the future, but right now that's their number one mission, is organizing the festival. What's wonderful about that is the Earth Day Festival, as great as it's been here, it's been sort of a project that's been passed around to a lot of hands. You know, the city, I think Water Services Department did it for many years, and they did a wonderful job with it, but they just didn't have the resources. It's no one's fault. And this is great because this is a community nonprofit, and they have drawn a very impressive board of directors, a very inclusive and diverse board. And so it's very interesting. And and to hear them talk about it, this is not just sort of your classic, for lack of a better word, Sierra Club kind of approach. You know, this is more. They talk a lot about sustainability. They talk about environmental justice. They talk about economic equity. And it's not political. It's not a political event. But they're bringing in different strands than just, as they say, we're not just hugging the trees. And that's a direct quote. That's not my. So I think that's pretty neat. I think that's a real kind of step forward, and they're a really good group, really good group. But this is, I think I'm looking forward to that one. That'll be really good.
Excellent. Thanks so much. Thanks for being with us, Jim. And
thank you.
You can hear more of our conversation at gpbnews.org.